Hello, and welcome to Success in the Evening. My name is Coach Ricky Terry. I'm the president, founder, and CEO of One Due North LLC, your professional mentoring and coaching company. We show leaders how to take it to the next level. And if you're ready to take your game to the next level, if you're ready to take that next step, then we invite you to contact us. Visit our website at thenumber1duenorth.com. That's thenumber1duenorth.com. I want you to listen to this program today. This is for leaders. And when we're done, I invite you to leave your comments. So don't be shy. I want to know what you think. Leave your voice recorded comment and it may be played live on the air.
Guys, welcome back to NLG Radio. You're listening to Success in the Evening with Coach Ricky Terry, and I got the flight crew with me. And I want to welcome Darian. We got a guest in the studio, man.
Man, we got a superstar on the rise.
Boy, I'm going to tell you, when I met this young brother at, you remember the event we did last week?
Right.
At
right.
High Point High School. Shout out to you. We were there live. We were there live, man. We had the entire flight crew. Momo was in the house. The super producer, you know, that's his stomping ground. And, of course, Darian DePaul was there. And shout out to High Point High School in Beltsville, Maryland. When I tell you they put on an excellent, I'm going to call it a, what was it, junior night? Mm-hmm. It was junior night slash career fair, if you will. Mm-hmm. And the kids were meeting college representatives from all the colleges, and we had folks from everywhere. We had businesses there. We had Prince George Finest there, and they were interviewing parents on the spot. So it was a really great thing that High Point did, and I want to thank them for inviting One Due North out, Success in the Evening. And if you guys want to see that, you can go over to my Facebook at @OneDueNorthLLC. On Facebook, I'm OneDueNorthLLC. You'll see the videos and stuff over there. Again, big shout out to the administration, the staff, and especially the kids who showed up. Over 700 kids, I'm told, showed up to that event.
Just to see me.
Just to see you. They showed up at that event. And one of those, one of the speakers at that event, I happened to meet and listen to. I was so blown away in my interview with him, and you can see it on Facebook. He's in the studio with me today. Jason, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Mr. Terry. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, I got called Mr. Terry. Now, I got to tell you, they call me Coach, but we'll go with Mr. You leave him alone.
I'm not bothering.
Jason, I got to tell you, man.
He's going to be around to save my life one day.
One day, because you got to see what he's going to be doing. Jason, when I met you, you were telling your story. You had just graduated from High Point High School, but there were some things going on. And one of the things I wanted to do today as an encouragement to the other kids was bring somebody in who's been through the struggle. And you got a story and a struggle, but you also got a story of triumph. Will you share a little bit of your story with us? Again, I met Jason. They brought him back to speak at up-and-coming graduates and those preparing for their college future. And I understand after hearing his story why they brought him back. Jason, share your story with me, man.
Well, currently I'm a freshman at the University of District of Columbia, where I am majoring in mechanical engineering and playing Division II lacrosse. And although that sounds good, you know, it wasn't always that way. It wasn't always all joyful and happy as I am right now. It was a lot of struggles, a lot of fights that I had to go through, but here I am. Thank you to God for bringing me this far.
I know that's right.
A lot of people don't know my story. I don't speak about it, but, you know, I felt that maybe if people understand where I come from and what I had to go through, that they can pick themselves back up and, you know, get through the struggles and fight. So pretty much when I started high school, my sisters were graduating. They both got full scholarships to the University of Maryland, which to me just raised the expectations, you know. I entered high school, and here I am a freshman. I don't know what I want to do with my life. And I got counselors, I got teachers, everybody asking me, what are you going to do? What do you want these next 4 years? And my answer was simple. I wanted to graduate with a sports scholarship, but not everybody believed in me. And I will forever remember the first person who asked me the question. And I told him I want to graduate with a sports scholarship. And he looked at me and he laughed. And he said, you're too small.
Uh-oh.
And you go to school here. If you don't end up dead, you'll be lucky enough to end up in cell block D1, cell block D2. And that was one of the obstacles, you know, that I had to overcome. I had to learn that it's all mental. That same afternoon in the parking lot, somebody got shot. And to me, that kind of just brought everything to reality. Maybe he was right. You know, where I come from, I don't have the opportunities other kids have. So who am I to think that I'm going to be somebody, that my dreams are worth it? And that's, you know, when I kind of gave up on my dreams. But I decided to join the lacrosse team in my school. And I will forever remember what my coach told me. And I'm not going to lie to you, we had to do hills that day. Somebody lost the ball and we didn't run after it. And on the first hill, I had an asthma attack on the hill. And one of the assistant coaches, he pulled me aside. And he told me one thing that I will never forget. And I told you this during the interview, remember? He told me, show them you can, show them you will. And right after, he showed me his arm. Coach John Lancaster, he showed me his arm. And he showed me where he had gotten shot trying to protect the lady in the parking lot. And to me, that just opened my eyes. Because doctors told him that he would have never been able to move his arm again. That he had permanent damage. And seeing how he was able to pick himself back up, that motivated me. And so I began working hard. And at the same time, my father had kidney disease for 10 years. So at the time I was a sophomore, it started getting bad. That's when, you know, we started spending a lot of time in the hospital. His health declined a lot. And obviously, not only dealing with that as a young adult, you know, I also had to deal with having to do homework. I'm just got into high school. How do I balance everything?
You're still trying to find your way through. And now you're trying to make a team sport, and you're dealing with your father, who has been dealing with this illness for how long at that point?
At that point, it had been about 7 years. It was 10 years my senior year in high school. So it was about 10 when I was a sophomore. But his health declined, and, you know, I was still struggling mentally, trying to figure out whether, you know, are my dreams worth it? Am I going to be able to do it?
And how were you doing at school at this point? What was the pull on you at school in high school? I mean, you're in high school and you got all this pressure. What was the pull like for you?
It was crazy. I had friends, you know, telling me, no, don't worry about that. Hang out with us. Don't do your work. You know, let's...
Wait a minute. You had friends telling you not to do this stuff, but you told me about a promise you made to your dad, which really got my attention. What was that promise you made?
Right, so it was one of the days that he just fell really ill, and we ended up spending a couple weeks in the hospital. And while he was sleeping, I was just standing over him. And seeing him there, I made him a promise, and I made myself the promise that one day I would be somebody in life, and that I would fight to get my education so that he didn't have to pay a penny. And that's the promise. That's the same promise I think to myself every single day when I wake up. And I have to go to practice, I have to go to class. And sometimes, you know, you lose motivation, but I bring myself to remember that promise that I made to him, that I can and I will. And that's what I fight for every day, to keep that promise. And I feel that, you know, so far I have been able to do that, but it hasn't been without the help of, you know, the coaches around me, the counselors that I spoke to, and the real friends. Because like I told you, I had to lose a lot of friends on the way here. It wasn't easy coming to the realization that the people telling me, skip class, come on, have fun with us, don't stress about that, those people weren't going to lead me anywhere. I had a promise to keep, and in order to keep that promise, I had to get away from them. And, you know, these are the people that I've known my whole life, and now I'm getting away from them to follow my own path, to try to get on the right track. It was difficult. It's very difficult. And I know that there's a lot of kids out there right now in high school, still going up, middle school, anywhere in life, and they feel that you have to live up to everybody's expectations, that you have to try to please your friends, you have to try to please everybody around you. And I had to learn that that's not the case.
And what was the reward for? I tell you what, let's do a quick music break real quick, JT. We're going to come back. And before we leave the air, because I know you got to go, I want to talk about the reward of being disciplined enough to care about your future. We'll be right back, guys. Hey, guys, welcome back to NLG Radio. You've been listening to my man, Jason, and I met Jason at High Point High School last week at an event that the flight crew and I attended. And, Jason, you stood up, man, and you spoke to about 600-700 kids in there. I got to ask you before we talk about the reward. Was that your first time telling your story? Because I was scanning the audience, and people were, mouths were open, people were wiping away tears, and you just, you really filled that room, man. What was that like for you?
It was the first time I spoke about it in public. Like I said, I've never been a person to, you know, speak about the things that I go through simply because, you know, I never thought of them in the way that I do now, in which my perspective is maybe I can help people. You know, like I told you, the promise I made to my dad that I will be somebody, that it motivates me. That's why I want to graduate with this degree, because I know that I can help other people, that my father wasn't the only person, you know, suffering from kidney. There's other people suffering, uncles, grandpas, fathers. And I know that if I can achieve this, then I can help those around me. And so standing there and speaking to people, my mentality was just, I can motivate these kids. Maybe 10 years from now, they can stand there where I was and speak to, you know, the new generation and tell them their struggles and how they overcame.
Well, it was amazing to witness it. And the outpouring of love that you got afterwards. I saw some of the people who knew you when you attended the school. And you know, you're coming back home, man. So what are you studying at the university?
Mechanical engineering. This is my first semester.
And how you doing? How the grades looking?
And they're very good. I actually, you know, the transition from high school to college was very difficult.
Say it again. Somebody, I've been trying to share that information with somebody. Just briefly tell the difference between high school and college.
Where do I start? It's very different. You know, you just jump into it. Academics and sports. Academically, you know, you do have the freedom of, I go to class when I want to, I leave when I want to, but that's when your integrity is put into place. You know,
That's when you got to show personal discipline.
Right. And that's where, for me, also in sports, it's very different. You know, I have to wake up at 5 in the morning, go to practice. And, you know, both academics and sports, my one thing is convictions over emotions, because emotions lie to you. At 5 in the morning, your emotions tell you, don't get up.
Don't get up, huh?
You're tired, you're sore, you deserve to sleep in. But my convictions tell me, you worked to get here, you worked to keep your promise, so get up, get going. Things gotta be
done. And there are no shortcuts for success. We all know that.
They're not.
So before we allow you to leave, though, what's been the reward of that dedication, of your convictions? What's been the reward of not leaving and cutting class like some of your friends or would-be friends wanted you to do? What has been your reward?
My reward, well, above all, it's been to get here where I'm at now, in which my education is paid for. Like I said, my promise to my dad, I kept it fully, and that's why I'm working to keep it.
When you say paid for, what you mean, young brother?
I got 6 scholarships total.
Ooh,
and I
go ahead, man.
I got about $4,000 back in refund, so my scholarships more than covered the amount I needed to attend school.
Excellent.
And you plan, what is it, two?
Division II lacrosse.
Man, come on. And this came because hard work works. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
So before you get out of here, I want you to get up close to that mic, and I want you to speak to the young person, whether they're in college right now, whether they're in high school, or whether they're starting their first job. What do you believe are 3 things that they need to do to become even more successful than they currently are?
First of all, the first thing that everybody has to do is believe that your dreams are worth it. It doesn't matter if I tell you that your dreams are worth it, because if you don't believe that, then nobody else will. So that's step number one, is, you know, saying to yourself, I have to do this. This is for me. Secondly, is realizing that, as you said, there's no shortcuts to success. If you want to get what you want from life, then you have to work for it. That's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And the third thing that it took me a while to realize as well, I've said this a lot of times, I tell it to my friends all the time, is that struggles and criticisms are prerequisites for greatness. So that's just something you have to get used to. That's just the law of this universe.
We keep getting these people in here that's dropping these nuggets. Just in case somebody's pen was running out of ink, I want you to drop that one more time. That last one was good.
Struggles and criticisms are prerequisites for greatness. That's just the law of this universe, and nobody escapes it. So if you get upset that people talk about you, then I don't know what you're doing, because that's just what's going to happen your whole life. As long as you are getting an education, as long as you are working toward your goal, as long as you are doing something productive, people will talk about you. And it's up to you whether you want to, you know, continue and prove them wrong, or you want to let their comments bring you down?
Yo, I really haven't said much.
You've been kind of quiet.
I've been pretty quiet, but I'm gonna say this: if you didn't write that down, shame on you. And that's as earnest as I can make. If you are listening to this, you listen to this show for a reason. It's called Success in the Evening, and we drop nuggets of success as much as we can. And if you didn't pick that one up, polish it and put it in your pocket.
Shame on you. And let's do it one more time. If you can remember it, Jason, and it sounds like you can, I want you to get right up close to the mic, and I want you to say that so that the person who is right there on the fence, they're getting ready to make that move, they're going to hear your voice, young brother. They're going to hear your leadership. They're going to go by your example. Say what you said again.
Struggles and criticisms are prerequisites for greatness. That's the law of this universe. Nobody escapes it.
Don't give up, don't give in, and don't give out. You don't have that much further to go. Jason, who you want to shout out, man, before you leave? Come on.
First off, I want to give a shout out to the man above, because I wouldn't be here without him.
Amen.
My father as well, because what I do is for you. Papi, lo quiero. And lastly, for my team, High Point High School Lacrosse. I love y'all. You guys are my brothers. Doesn't matter if I'm 1 mile or 1,000. I will always be there for you all and keep fighting for your dreams. I love y'all.
That's right. And how's your lacrosse team at college doing? How they doing?
Oh, give them a shout out too. I love y'all. I love y'all as well. It's very diverse. It's very different. They're pushing me to be the best. Obviously, the transition for that is very difficult. Competition, but we're going to win all our games this season.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
For the championship.
Name it and claim it, man.
Yes,
name it and claim it.
Hey,
well,
I see a road trip.
I'm thinking we got to go do a broadcast.
Let
your coach know we are available to come and broadcast, to come and do a motivational session. Guys, you've been listening to a young man, and if you didn't get the nuggets he dropped, then I don't know what to tell you. You don't have to be in high school to get it. We're all going to face some struggles. We're all going to face some criticism. We're all going to go through some peaks and valleys. It's our job, though, to keep things moving. We're going to take a quick break. Jason, I want to thank you again, brother, for stopping by. Tell your father that from one man to another, I am very proud of the son he raised, because one of the things grown men do is they keep their word. And you're keeping your word to yourself, to your family, and you are a shining light for your high school, your community. And I just want to let you know, man, and one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on the show, because we don't talk enough about our kids that are doing well. We want to highlight those that are, you know, doing some other things, but I wanted you to highlight your success. I wanted people to hear your voice, and I don't think anybody that listens today or in the future is going to be disappointed. The one thing I want to encourage you to do is I want to encourage you to keep speaking, because there's greatness inside of you. And when those kids heard your voice, I saw their ears perk up. When you stood up there, you represented the hopes and dreams of your people, your ancestors, your community. And it was a beautiful thing. And one of the things I'm going to do, because I'm looking up to you, I want to offer you 4 weeks of my coaching as another scholarship at no cost. So you're going to get the One Due North leadership coaching. We're not going to charge you a thing for it. I'm so proud of you being the lighthouse that you are. It would be our pleasure to do it. And in closing, you want to say anything going out, brother?
Keep fighting for your dreams. They're worth it. Don't ever give up. Don't let anybody define who you are or to define your future. Do it all for yourself. Do it for your family. And keep faith in what you believe in.
Well, I hope you liked today's message. And if you have a comment or suggestion you would like to leave, just hit the record button. We'll listen to it. And if it's something we can play over the air, I promise you we will. Until then, remember, join us every Monday from 5 to 7 p.m. on NLGRadio.com. That's NLGRadio.com every Monday from 5 to 7 p.m. And you'll get a chance to join in with the flight crew and our special guests. We'd love to have you. And if you're a first-time listener, please let us know. Give us a call. Our call-in number is 202-299-6673. My name is Coach Ricky Terry, president of One Due North, and I am your coach. I don't know about you, but I have a lot to be thankful for. Now, let me be clear. This year, I haven't gotten everything I wanted, and there are some things that I've lost. But when I look back, there is much to be thankful for. So the question of today, what are you thankful for? Give us a call. Be a part of the conversation. 202-299-6673. You're listening to Success in the Evening with Coach Ricky Terry and the Flight Crew. And if you'd like to be part of the conversation, give us a call at 202-299-6673. This broadcast is powered by NLG Radio. Help me give a warm welcome to my friend and one of our special guests to Success in the Evening, Miss Gina Robinson. Gina, how are you?
Doing great this evening. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. We know we're going to throw you right into this thing. We ain't even going to give you no warm-up today.
I'll see if I can help.
First of all, let me just say I am impressed. Okay. I am impressed with not only your resume, but your village. We could really read off all your accomplishment, being a Howard grad and starting your own business, and the amount of people that you have helped in the last 23 years of doing your craft. But what I was really happy to see was your village. We often forget that we don't get anywhere on our own, and we need everybody. And your village came out in numbers on social media.
Absolutely.
Your village showed up here at the studio. They didn't send you by yourself.
You
got some company with you. Who you got?
So I have my mom, Irma Robinson, and my dad, George Robinson, my siblings at home, and Facebook family, and a lot of co-workers, former, as well as current. So I'm just really appreciative of the opportunity to be here and all the support and love.
You know, when I saw that we were going to wind up having a psychologist, a professional mental health person, I figured they were trying to sneak me with another intervention, and I almost didn't show.
It ain't over yet.
I almost didn't show because, you know, you got me one time before.
Well, we still want to get a check on you. Before we get into any questions, we want to remind everyone, if you want to talk about mental illness, if you want to talk about depression, if you got something you want to share, give us a call today at 202-299-6673. Gina, won't you do us a favor before we start? I think for the benefit of our listeners, would you tell them a little bit about your background? You mind?
Sure, I'm happy to. So, again, my name is Gina Robinson. I'm a licensed clinical social worker. HU, a graduate of Howard University and UMBC as well. And so my background has been working with children, adolescents, and young adults, primarily in school settings. I've worked with kids that may be defined more as typical, as well as those with special needs. And so the gamut goes from kids with intellectual disabilities, behavioral disabilities, autism, physical disabilities. And in my roles have often worked along with the family, because these things that are happening at school also impact the family. Yes. So largely, when I've worked in residential settings, it's always the child in their environment, which is their family, and looking at what dynamics are at play to try and move them forward in their lives.
Well, given the state of where we are, and I don't want to get into... It's almost hard to, I don't want to say ignore what's going on in the world today. It's being blared on social media and television and every point. But we often look at some of the people who are most impacted by this are our children, and how they process all the stuff we're dealing with, and how they process, you know, what are they supposed to do right now on top of everything else? And that was one of the reasons I thought it important to bring someone of your caliber in here today to help us, you know, sort out some of this stuff.
you had sent me some information on statistics of what's going on. Can you share some of that with us?
And so what we know for sure is that mental health impacts us all, whether we identify it directly or we are have interactions with people, and sometimes we're not always clear what we're seeing and what's happening. But the statistics are 1 in 5 U.S. adults experience mental illness. And so if you're in a room of 5 people...
Wait a minute.
There's 5 people in this room.
1, 2...
It could be you. Could be somebody else. But it's prevalent.
If we're taking bets.
And so at some point, 1 in 5 they're suffering. And then we have those that have even more serious mental illnesses, schizophrenia and psychosis and things like that, which is 1 in 25. So if you live in a small community, you might actually be in touch or come into contact or be aware of someone who is really suffering with a serious mental illness. Mm. And then,
So one of the reasons I also wanted to do this particular segment in talking with you was the impact that it has directly on the family and the caregivers when we start talking about this during the holidays, because we know that the anxiety picks up. We know that the
level of stress.
Thank you. There's so many things that impact how people feel about the holidays that end up, hurting the family as a whole during that period. Are there some things we can look at doing to help families? What are some things we can give families that can help them through this holiday period?
Well, I think that the answer is probably twofold. I think when we talk about the statistics being 1 in 5, then we have to be aware of ourselves first. Like, what is going on with us? Because when we're talking about kids, oftentimes they're picking up on, I mean, they carry their own stuff, but they also are very aware about what's happening around them. And so being able to intervene and, I guess, have a relatively successful holiday season includes the adults taking care of themselves. It's going to involve them being aware of, like, how they're feeling and what do they need. Do you need to use some coping skills? Do you need to bring yourself into check, really?
Mm-hmm.
And then also we think about processing issues, because mm-hmm. what happens during the holiday season is that losses sometimes come to the light. People, mm-hmm. it's family time. And sometimes people experience losses around the holidays, so the holidays are no longer just about the holidays, but they're about an anniversary, maybe, of a loss. But it can also be about, while it's the holiday and that person isn't here, maybe the loss didn't occur during the holiday season,
right,
but they're still experienced. Wow, grandma didn't make her cake this year. Grandma passed mm-hmm. this year. Wow, that's different.
And these are conversations that we have out loud during the holidays. I'm going to use my family, my wife's aunt, her sweet potato pie. We all know it when we are, and all of our family gets together at the table. There's normally a big setting, a lot of laughter. But once the food hits the table, there's something about, Aunt Ruby's sweet potato pie. Now, my daughter took on that role,
mm-hmm.
but as a family, we still know that that isn't Aunt Ruby's sweet potato pie. And because there was only two of them, my mother-in-law, who I am sure is listening today, and her sister, there's a moment there where we remember.
Mm-hmm.
But let me ask you a question, because there's another dynamic, and that's the one where we may have family members that aren't doing as well as we would like for them to do. And it causes a burden on the family. Do we or do we not associate with them? Do we or do we not, let them bring us down? Is there something a family can do to try to avoid that? Because it's going to come. We can pretend it isn't. But in somebody's house, it's going to happen where Uncle Fred's going to show up. and it's going to cause everybody discomfort. It always does. Is there, what can we do, Doc? What can we do?
So I think that part of that is about, we understand the dynamics of our families. We've been in them for a while. We kind of know who the players are, and we can almost predict to some degree what's going to happen.
Yes.
What could happen?
We already know what's going to happen. It's right. Just a matter of
I've been saying it's just a matter of the crown world getting opened up. Okay. You know.
Yeah, there
right.
You go.
I'm and just so saying. Alcohol that, enters the picture.
Hey, it's a realization.
Look, have you seen that sign where it says, do not feed? Listen to me over there. Do not feed, okay? Do not open the door.
That is a reality. I'm talking about a reality. Go ahead.
But seriously, my concern, because I've dealt with it, I know other people have, I want to be able to help people get through this holiday season knowing that somebody else's situation isn't necessarily what the entire family needs to try to deal with. There are ways, I believe, and I hope that we can get past that so we can have a great holiday. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is the right thing to do or not, but I think before we get to the turkey, we ought to get to talking. Is it still a valuable option that we honestly sit down as a collective family and talk about the issues?
So being that this is my craft, I would say yes. But mm-hmm. I also think that we can't control other people. And that's why I said I feel like the process has to be two-pronged. One is what we do for ourselves. That's who we're in control of.
Right.
And the other part has to do with other people. Right. So, yes, but we have to understand those same players, mm-hmm. the same players that we were talking about.
talking about Uncle Fred.
Those are the people you're having a conversation with. Know right. who you're having a conversation with. Who are the people in the family that you feel like maybe you can partner with about things in a collaborative way, in a productive way, to maybe shift that dynamic?
Mm-hmm.
So number one, don't lose your thought, but I want to make sure that the listeners get it. Number one, you've got to form a collaboration of individuals who are committed to making sure that this goes off successfully. That, I mean, you got to talk about the success you want to have happen at your dinner. It's too important to leave it to whether he's going to open the bottle of scotch or not. And we're going to get started. When we come back, guys, if you have any questions for my guest, I want you to give us a call at 202-299-6673. We're back, guys, and I want to welcome my guest in the studio, Ms. Gina Robinson. And Gina, before we left, I wanted to ask you about what are some of the signs, some of the signals that we can look for to help us better be able to prepare for this thing called the holidays and the holiday blues?
Well, I think one of the important things to recognize is that when people are suffering with depression and anxiety or having challenges in their life, the holidays doesn't change that. Oftentimes it exacerbates it. So we'll see changes with appetite and sleep patterns. Sometimes we'll see things becoming, for people that are depressed, maybe they're even more depressed. There's irritability, which I think is often confused because people see irritability and they have a strong reaction to it.
and they don't
understand.
Don't start talking about me, okay?
It could be any of us any day. So, but oftentimes that's misunderstood. But sometimes that is one of the indicators of depression going on when that irritability kicks in. And oftentimes when people come to see me in my office and I talk to the families, they're like, oh, yeah, they're so irritable and they're cranky and they this and that. And I'm like, okay, yeah, let's talk more about the larger picture. And oftentimes that is one of the indicators that shows up specifically with kids and teenagers, especially younger kids, I think, who have less ability sometimes to put it into words. We see the behavior. So those are some of the things we see. I think the hard thing about this sometimes is being able to understand what we're seeing.
Oh, mm-hmm. What do you mean?
So we might see an attitude, or we might see that irritability, withdrawal, just an interaction with somebody and not quite know what is going on, and we assign meaning to it.
Mm-hmm. And, well, how does a non-professional deal with something like that?
well, oftentimes we go with what we think is best. And I think we all operate generally from what we think is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so oftentimes, I mean, in a professional realm, obviously we're going to dig deeper.
Mm-hmm.
What is that about? I think depersonalizing it.
Can you ask that question?
Which question?
You know, because one of the things that my father does on a regular when I was younger, he was like, come here, you know, is there something wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'd like to know before I kill you. You know, and
he's
like
serious.
You said, you are doing something so out of character, so out of bounds, so unlike you.
That we need to talk.
I need to know whether or not
this is you.
Right. So it
sounds about Ricky Terry. Sounds just about Ricky Terry. Yeah.
I think it's a great question.
Right. Okay. Last thing you won't do is get on these two. You don't want to be on the train with them. Okay. Trust me on that. I'm trying to keep you out of trouble. But these two like to draw everything back over here.
It's the fun squad. She likes it.
But what I like about it is, in hearing you, I know there are, you know, adults, there are parents, there are relationships that these very things you just talked about apply to, and some of the things that trigger them just in doing what I do as a success coach and talking with people and having the experience of my military training and my ministry training is that, you know, finances kick this off during the holidays because people feel guilty that they either can't give, you know, what they want to give someone, or, you know, they can't spend $100 or $1,000, and they go into depression.
Mm-hmm.
Or they spend it and then feel guilty about having done that. Is there anything in that realm we can do to kind of cut that out to make sure that that doesn't happen?
Well, I think that takes looking at values and looking at, are we monetizing love?
Mm-hmm.
Say that again.
Are we monetizing love?
You're going to have to explain.
So are we deciding that a dollar amount equals I love you so much?
Mm.
Oh my God. So in other words, I really don't have to buy that diamond ring, do I?
Absolutely.
Well, oh my Let's get ready. Don't you dare walk out of that one.
But that is so huge because we actually believe that on both sides of it, that if I don't purchase this big ticket item for him or her or for them, then that's an expression of my love for them.
Mm-hmm.
And on one end, if I don't receive these big ticket items, that's how much they love me. And you got something?
I was just going to say, wouldn't you say it goes a little bit further somewhere in the realm of not even buying this for you, but if I don't take you out here or,
but those are conversations that you need to have earlier on in the relationship.
Those are conversations, but those are also habits that we have not gotten into good practice with. Because mm-hmm. when you start talking about that, now we have an expert here, but I just believe that a lot of the things that we give value to come from bad habits.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then when it starts to harm you,
mm-hmm. come on,
there's something else to be said about that.
And when we're talking harm, we're talking about harm in both the physical and another
and the mood. Emotional. Absolutely. Because how are you going to feel on January 1st after you spent more than you could afford?
Mm-hmm.
And so,
and you're depressed
mm-hmm.
and you're irritable.
And I ask this question to every one of my clients when we come to what you want to call a fork in the road or an intersection or a point where we need to take action. I ask all the time, now that you know, what are you going to do about it? So if you know that you are struggling with this time of year and that you overspend, I think before you come up with anything, you got to come up with, what am I going to do to make sure that I don't repeat the habits, back to the habits,
mm-hmm.
that I don't repeat the habits of the last 5 years, 10 years. The very thing that makes me feel depressed about going into 2019 was the very thing that made me feel depressed about going into 2018 and 17, and here I am now getting ready to jump into 2020. The only question I ask everyone, or, you know, the definition of insanity is continuing mm-hmm. to do the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. So I'm going to ask you, Gina, given your experience, how do we change that mindset? How do we break loose of that I'm going to call it a curse, because if it keeps giving you a result that is not beneficial, you're probably carrying a curse that only you have the key to let go. How do we let go of that so we can enjoy ourselves for the holiday and give the proper reason for the season?
I think it's a shift in mindset. I think for parents specifically, sometimes they feel like, well, they get pressure from their kids. Everybody else
has that video game.
I want that. Mm. I want that phone.
Mm-hmm. And that is, but that's no different. Now, I understand you young and you ain't. But when I was growing up, you know, if you didn't have the PF Flyers, mm-hmm. you weren't nobody. You had to have a pair of Chuck Taylors. If you didn't have Chuck Taylors, it's no different back then than it is now with a pair of, you know, Jordans that are selling for numbers that are unbelievable. $13 back then was $13. It was a lot of money for my mom.
Sure, but I would hope that, you know, that we're raising kids who have values that aren't tied to materialistic things. So when they don't have those things, they don't feel like nothing.
Well, not only kids, but...
And adults. Mm-hmm.
Because we attach our value to... our values are no longer an inward thing. It's now attached to our keychain based on the size of the car I'm driving, or the style of car I'm driving, or the wig I'm wearing, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. the heels I have, or the clique I hang out with. And all of a sudden we find that clique or that car or that house does not give us the joy
that we think it's going to give us.
Mm-hmm. Because we've allowed joy to be watered down to happiness, and too many people have done that and find out that being happy ain't all it's cut up to be.
And the thing that it creates a pattern where we have to continue to feed it.
Come on. You're that hamster on the wheel.
I need something else. What else is going to make me feel that way? What's the next greatest thing?
The box under the tree has to get bigger every year. And while the box is getting bigger, our self-worth is becoming less valued. Is that?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's not developed.
Mm-hmm. Say that again.
It's not developed.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Why you got hit so hard?
Sorry.
But see, that's why everybody gets McDonald's gift certificates from me every year. Nobody ever expects anything except for a Big Mac, some extra fries. That's it. If you're looking for anything else,
give them the Monopoly piece that comes in.
Yeah,
because you know it's that
only,
time of year.
Only if you've been good. Okay. Only if you've been good.
Well, here's what I like. We were talking about kids. Not too long ago.
Here we go.
Because it's rare
it's flashback
that I get
time.
To come on and really brag about my generation.
Christmas time is here.
Well, see, not only that, it's just I feel like a lot of people in my generation, I guess you could say, grew up in, you know, what's been called the recession that we've been going through. And it's crazy because none of us ever really, like, to us, it's just like, oh, you know, this is how it is now. But as we grow up, we find out, oh, prices for things are getting, you know, higher. You know, a cup of coffee at Starbucks is like $5. So, you know, and like to us, even to us, that stuff is like ridiculous. Like I work at a retail spot, and, you know, a lot of these brands, they're, you know, $300 shoes and pants, and, you know, $50 for jeans, or even higher sometimes. And it's like, That's ridiculous. And yeah, I'll buy it because, you know, yeah, this is what's out, or, you know, this is the better material that we have right now. But my generation can at least recognize that, yeah, this is nonsensical. And some of us, the sensible ones of us, understand
that.
There
are some sensible ones of y'all.
Oh, just like, man, it's some sensible ones of y'all.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah. See, this is what happens when you give kids freedom of speech.
No, this is what happens when you throw shots and aren't expecting them back. I ask you back.
But, you know, Joshua brings up a great point, because what my parents, you know, my mom and my granddaddy and my grandmother, what they complained about me was I didn't understand the value of what they were providing. And now here we are as parents, and I wonder if we're doing the right job. And I think we say in the church world, you know, are we giving the real reason for the season? And if we don't understand it, then we can't teach it, and we end up feeding a monster that we complain about. And then we get sad because we are the zookeepers of that monster. And the only way to not be responsible, guys, and I want you to listen very clearly before we go to break, the only way to make sure you aren't feeding that monster is to get rid of the monster.
Or not create it.
Well, in most cases, it's there, and you either, you know, you either got a good thing or you got a monster. And that monster is, again, as I said, the box has to get bigger every year. The surprise has to be have more bang to it every year because we've been conditioned to that. And we're driving away the love. We're driving away, you know, how does somebody feel who is, you know, I had a friend who started a business. And because there is so much commitment needed to follow a dream that you can't always give like you've given. When you started you have a practice. Where is it at?
In Columbia, Maryland.
Tell people about it real quick.
My practice is called Milestones Counseling and Consulting Services, and we're located in Columbia, Maryland. We serve children, adolescents, young adults, and we also work with families.
And when you started your practice, were there some sacrifices?
There's still sacrifices, absolutely.
And those sacrifices, did it get to the level where you had to make some shifts, some adjustments, you had to get rid of some things in order to keep what you wanted for the better of your vision, of your dream, to keep it alive?
Absolutely.
And so what do you say to those that need to understand in order to have that success of moving away from depression, of moving away from the things that trigger depression, there's going to have to be some sacrifices? What do you say?
There definitely has to be shifts. It's not easy work, but definitely there has to be a shift and willingness first. Mm-hmm. There's to be an acknowledgement. There is a problem here. Oftentimes, in some communities, mm-hmm. African-American, non-white communities, oftentimes mental health, it doesn't take the spotlight like perhaps it really should, and people aren't seeking the help that they need to get. And so the holidays hit, and not only were they not doing well before the holidays, but now
it's compounded because they're carrying the weight of the debt, they're carrying the weight of the guilt. And one of the things that you said earlier, you got to change your mindset. There has to be a willingness to understand, you know, I can't carry this kind of thinking because I'm drowning with it. And so when we come back, and again, I want to encourage you to call in. We're almost done. I want you to call 202-299-6673. But when we come back, I want to make sure we cover one other thing, because we can do better. We want to do better. I've not talked to anyone who said, I want to intentionally be sad. I want to intentionally feel bad. I've not talked to anyone. They've just not had anyone to give them good, solid advice. And one of the things we did at this show is we made you a promise when we came on the air back in April that we were only going to bring you the very top. And so sitting here is someone at the very top who's dropping nuggets just through conversation. So stop waiting on the top five things. Stop waiting on when are they going to get to it. We're in it, okay? And you've got to find out what in this is for you. And as my granddaddy said throughout the conversation, chew the meat and spit on the bone. You know, Gina, one of the things I learned, you know, from my family was not all advice is necessarily for you at that moment. Take what's for you at that moment and use it. But don't throw away the rest of it because it wasn't useful now. Put it in your vault. And so over the last, you know, years, let's leave it at that, I've taken a lot of what I couldn't use at that moment and put it in my vault. So when I came up against something, I think, wait a minute, I got something in my vault for this. I go in my vault. Yes. Say it again.
I've heard that before.
Take an inventory of what you got. How are you going to use it if you don't know what you got? So we're going to go ahead and take a break. I'd really like to hear some of my girl, Jill. I love me some Jill Scott. That's my girl. Give me a little Jill Scott. And if you do happen to miss the live version of the show, you can catch us on podcast. Guess where? On One Due North. What is it? I'm sorry. No, the podcast is on Success in the Evening.
There you go.
With Coach Ricky Terry. Man, y'all got me so spread out.
All the plugs got him a little confused. Yeah.
Y'all got to start writing stuff down, man.
See, look, what y'all fail to realize is we always called Mo Mogul,
But see, y'all don't know that Coach Terry is a little bit of something of a mogul himself. I mean, we got a lot of stuff going on. See, he plays the humble game, but y'all just saw how confused he got. See, when you run so many businesses and do so many different things.
The three-letter people are listening. What I tell you about talking about what we do? What I tell you, the three-letter people are listening. We only do
One thing. What is it? We breathe?
We breathe.
We breathe. Okay.
That's it. Cool. We breathe.
We keep on breathing. Listener, I'll give you in studio tour if you can guess what the next few names of the next few websites Coach Terry can give you are, because the last three have been pretty all lined up. So.
If you want to send me an email because you want to talk about receiving coaching, mentoring, or if you're looking for a speaker to come into your organization, then I want to talk to you because I'm looking for you. You can reach me directly on email at rickt@onedonorth.com. Okay. Mm-hmm. Hey, if you're going to brand right. Well, one of the things I want to talk about, because like I said, we have one of the soldiers in the battle to help families and help adolescents and kids and individuals be able to achieve more, be able to have a better sense of balance for their lives. And she is a phenomenal person. And I want to tell, first of all, Gina, how we met. And this is important, guys. When I tell you, build a reputation, not so that you have to promote yourself and talk about yourself, but that others might. When I reached out to a close friend and said, I need an expert in this field, it was less than 30 seconds when they said, call this sister. She's the real deal.
Thank you, Will Holmes.
Will Holmes, Mr. Will Holmes, who was a guest of ours not too long ago when we featured Baltimore in the Charm City. Will is the acting president, I think, of the Chamber of Commerce up in Baltimore City. And Will, I can't tell you how much we appreciate you sending us this beautiful, shining example of community help, because she has devoted her life to helping others when she could have done so many other things with her expertise. What you got, JT?
Thank you.
I just gotta keep getting on you about these intros we giving people, because you did it, 2 weeks ago, and now we gotta do it again.
See, what am I doing?
When he says real deal, y'all, mm-hmm. we mean that's a show enough. No. Now everybody said that's a
show enough.
A show enough guest we got for you today. So we got somebody that's real show enough in the studio with us today. Show enough. That's all I got to say.
Show enough. Appreciate that. Enough. Thank you.
So when we look at imaging now, what's the mistake we're making?
I think oftentimes social media plays a huge part in that. And social media is usually just a very small snippet of what goes on in people's real lives. Mm-hmm. People take that and write a story as if they know what's really going on behind the scenes, and then decide that, well, am I doing that? And the fact is, they're probably not doing that either.
There you go. Mm-hmm. There you go. Well, one of the things I tell people again, in you know, leadership is really interesting, because a lot of people teach leadership from, you know, the do's and all this. I try to approach it a little differently, and one of the things I want to do is in a parable or a story, however you want to put it. Guys, when you're looking at making sure you're setting yourself up for success, and you're looking in the mirror, make sure the image you see is the image of you, not of social media, not of the Kardashians, not of Kerry Washington, not of Beyonce, not of anyone but you. And I teach my leaders, when we do the leadership form, be who you say you are. If you want to make sure that you are not getting bogged down too heavy in the mental process of trying to be everyone else, which can overwhelm us, just be who you say you are. Be you. That should be the easiest job on earth to have. And if we were going to be ourselves, in your opinion, how much of that burden would we remove so we could get to the real issue of what's bothering us?
I think it helps us to manage our expectations when we stop putting on airs for other people. We're more authentic. Because then there's not this other storyline that we feel like we have to live up to.
Say it again, please. Putting on what? Did they? First of all, I like what you said. The expectation should line up. Well, I'm going to say it. The expectation should line up with your ability to be disciplined enough to go after what it is you want. We give ourselves unexpected expectations, and then we somehow feel like a credit card. We can charge ourselves with the right to be depressed. I can't go be a surgeon in the next 12 months. I don't have the skill set. I haven't developed the discipline to be a surgeon. Now, if I want to do that, then I've got to gather those things. I can't paint a picture, so I can't get frustrated when the picture I want doesn't come out.
Right.
And how do we, my daughter says, how do we create SMART goals? You know, how do we do that so that we don't lead ourselves down a road that's really hard to come back from?
And that comes with self-awareness. Being clear about what your strengths are and what your areas of needs are. And what areas can you grow in and what things just maybe are not for you. So I think being able to set expectations and have some goals that are achievable is super important. In going into the holiday season specifically, I'm thinking have some clear expectations about what you can and cannot do for the holidays and what that should look like. And are you keeping up with the Kardashians or the Joneses, and who are they anyway to be keeping up with? So I
just, because you all have inspired a question out of me, are you saying that to be myself, you know, to be happy being me, I have to happily be myself? Essentially, are you saying, all right, cool. Let me rephrase that.
Please do, because it sounded like you were giving me back talk, and I just didn't understand.
It sounded cooler in my head. I swear.
You see why I brought a professional?
It sounded so much cooler in my head, and then I got on the mic, and it went. But to be okay with being myself, I have to be me. Is that what you all are saying?
Yeah, I think it's more authentic person and being okay with your limitations and I think being able to also think through, like, if you're expecting, where do you get those messages about how you should be on a day-to-day basis anyway? What are those shoulds? What are those scripts? What are those things that you live in that maybe you need to unpack and rewrite?
And you know what? I think for a lot of people, that could very easily be pointed to social media or TV, you know, which, Coach Terry, as I've always heard you call it, televised vision.
Well, first of all, if your classroom is strictly limited to what you read on your social media feed, then you are handicapping yourself severely. One of the things that you know, again, I got to go back to what I do in this business of One Due North is I train leaders, and training leaders to lead, it's important that you surround yourself with really great people. It's really important, you know, bringing someone like you into my world is really important to me because you are an expert in your field. Bringing someone like Will Holmes, that's important to me because he is an expert not only in his field of business, but in his passion of connecting people.
Absolutely.
And so when I look at people, when I look at success, and when I look at what they're going through, I always look at who are they connected to. Let me tell you something, guys, and I'm going to speak directly to you. Okay, I'm gonna take the gloves off for 1 second here. If you want to know why you're not successful, take a real close look at who you got around you. If I'm not saying blame them because you're responsible for who you let into your life, but too many of us are sitting around not achieving our goals because we're hearing from individuals and we're looking in the mirror at people we are associated with who aren't doing anything themselves. You know, when I started a business, the first thing I realized, I had no friends that owned a business. Where am I going to get my advice from if I don't have anybody to look up to? You know, when I looked around and it was my turn to be a husband, I looked around and in my family, there was no one to look to for a marriage and say, here is where I get my counsel from. Here is where I go to replenish. Here's where I go to. And then that created some mental issues for me upstairs. When I did get a family, I was not prepared. And one of the things we can do going into the holidays, one of the things we can do going into 2020 is better prepare. Again, one of the things I teach in my leadership class comes from the 11 principles of leadership, and it is know yourself and seek self-improvement. Guys, if you don't know yourself, you won't know to seek the improvement you need. And that's why I have people like Agena Robinson in my atmosphere, because she's a professional in her field. If you want to get better, if you want to see success, if you want to see change, you might have to get outside yourself. You might have to, you know, all my clients read the book, Who Moved My Cheese. You're either going to be hemming hard, you're going to be sniffing scurry. And I chose to be sniffing scurry because him and her were broke. They were broke in their spirits. They were broke in their ability to connect with other people. They were even broke in their desire to be creative. And I don't know if you've read the book, but it changed my life. You've read the book?
I have.
Is there any way it can apply to what we're talking about today? Can you see a correlation?
I think the connection I'm making is around change. Okay. And being able to deal with changes.
Come on.
How do you, and I think holidays can be a time of change. It's a change from what typically goes on during the year.
Can we stop right there? Keep your thought. Let's not wait until Thanksgiving and Christmas. We're still a couple of weeks. The change has to happen right now. And that
we can
comes
start changing now by thinking about rethinking our expectations. The change can start now by when we have people in our families that are suffering. We can start using empathy now.
And, you know, speaking of suffering, we had somebody that texted in and they said that to ask you about dealing with grief during the holidays because of, you know, as far as grief is concerned, sometimes even knowing that it's there doesn't help you not suffer from it. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Sometimes it just creeps up on you. And, you know, Coach spoke about the pie. You know, you can cut into the apple pie and all of a sudden you're crying. They're like, well, you haven't even eaten the pie. What are you talking about? What are you crying for? Because pie reminds me of da 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 da. So, you know, and these are things that you can't. I'm not gonna say you can't. How do you create defenses for that? How does somebody who knows that they suffer, and you know, I had a friend who lost their mother on Christmas Day.
Wow.
I mean, that is just crazy. The one day, especially if you have children.
Absolutely.
Because that's the one day that is the children's holiday.
Right.
You know, as far as holidays go, I'm a Thanksgiving dude. I love Thanksgiving.
I can tell you're always at my house.
So, but for somebody who knows, you know, Christmas Day is coming. Mm-hmm. That's the day I lost my mother, my father, my mm-hmm. favorite aunt or whatever. How do you create a defense for something like that? How do you deal with that grief?
I think you have to acknowledge it. I think sometimes people try to move along as if it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so first being able to acknowledge it. The next thing I would say is maybe finding a way to memorialize it. Because I think with grief and loss, there comes a place of acceptance and we get to a place where we're like, those happy memories come.
Mm-hmm.
And can we take those memories in some way and shape that into something for that day that's much more positive,
mm-hmm.
and celebratory? Rather than just, oh man, this is a day of loss. Well, maybe it's a day of celebration. It's a day of remembering. Maybe I'm going to make that pie and I'm going to remember Aunt Betty who made that pie and tell stories about Aunt Betty.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're dying to get in here, but I want to say two things on that and I hope I don't forget them. The first is, you heard me mention Aunt Ruby, which is my wife's mother's sister, who is no longer with us, and her sweet potato pie and her iced tea were the hallmark of our families. Whether it was, you know, a regular dinner on Sunday we got together or holidays, we knew who was bringing the pie and the tea. When that left, what I love about our family is we didn't let her memory die, nor did we let her dish die. That was automatically reassigned to someone, and we celebrate the fact that is my daughter now doing it. And it was a lot of pressure on her. I remember the first, what you say?
I imagine. Because is this pie like Aunt Ruby's?
Yeah.
Yes.
This don't taste like Aunt Ruby's pie.
Yeah, you know what they say. Who made the potatoes?
Who did this?
I never asked that, you're in trouble.
And you know what, and this is not originally what I wanted to say, but it just kind of came to my mind. It's always kind of astonishing to me. it's kind of the little things that really start to add up, because you were saying a lot earlier about taking for granted, and I think we always assume that we take people for granted or the things that they did for us, but it really is the little things that I think we lose, rather than, you know, those big things like, oh, you know, when I was down bad, cousin Johnny, he loaned me this, he really helped me get out of this hole, or he just had a simple conversation. I think we lose like the little things, like, oh yeah, you know, auntie's pie, or you know sis used to call me, you know, at 12 a.m. every morning on my birthday, you know,
right?
Every time.
It's all of those things that come back during the course of a year and the years following. It's the mm-hmm. little things that I think we experience loss at that time, and then we experience it over time, mm-hmm. you know, and that, like, becomes more real.
Yeah, little things, you know, like not hearing those footsteps in the background of the house, even though, you know, for all your life you've been hearing, you know, someone else there, and all of a sudden it's just you. But one of the things I really wanted to ask was, you all were saying that in order to be happy, you have to be your most authentic self. But what would you, and this goes for anybody at the table, what would you all say to someone who doesn't know exactly who they are yet?
I think that's a process of development. I think working with kids and teenagers, you know, I see them, for me, some of the clients that I see, I've seen for years. And so I've seen them go from middle school to high school and maybe transition even to college, and see how sometimes the way that they're living, the way they're thinking, their social circles impact who they are and challenge what they believe. And so I think that development comes over time as well.
And does this change for adults? Because, I mean, we know that there can be extremes for anything, but I feel like I can say this with 100% certainty. There are some people who are adults who don't know exactly either what they want in life. They feel like they're stuck at a dead-end job, or they may not know that, you know, it's their job that's draining their soul, or it's, you know, the home that they're coming back into every night, or even the place that they live at. They don't know that that's what's draining them and killing them mentally and emotionally. You know, what would you say to that person who, you know, they're in their mid to late 30s? They've gone through what should be the developing stages of life already, but they're still dealing with that, you know.
I think there's stages of awareness that I think as we get older and we evolve and we learn more about ourselves, and that's why, you know, we encourage adults to go to therapy too, because things happen that bring into question, well, why am I doing this job? And why am I in this relationship? And why do I live here? Like, all these mm-hmm. questions start coming up. And so it's an ongoing process of and unpacking of, like, who am I really?
Yeah, but you have to be aware of that. It's
that goes
sometimes,
back to that
yeah.
piece you said on being self-aware, and that goes back to why I bring leaders through the course, and mm-hmm. I teach them again, you know, to know yourself and then seek self-improvement.
Mm-hmm.
It's important that you get to know yourself and find out where the areas that I need improvement. And one of the things we don't do very well, one of the things I think we do too well is we continue to spread this thing called we don't get help. Well, I'm an African-American male, and I think I've been blessed to have success in what I do. And all I need to do is look at my phone and look at, you know, the people I have behind me who support me and who back me and where they are in their lives and careers. And I say, okay, if I'm here with them, I'm doing okay, and they back me. But we have got to do a much better job, again, of prepping ourselves for the success we want. We got to stop telling ourselves, I'm cursed. We've got to stop doing things that lead us to believe we're cursed or our children are cursed. You know what they used to say? Oh, you just like your daddy. And we all know what that meant. And so we plant that seed. And I just want to say to those that are listening, the seeds you are planting are going to grow. I don't care what you say. The seeds you plant, they're going to grow. Now, whether you tend them or you don't tend them, whether you intended for that type of seed or not, whatever seed you put out there is a seed you're going to get back. And so if that's the case, Why not mentally put in your head, this is the seed I need to plant. I want to, if I want peace, I got to plant that seed of peace. When I go home, my home is peaceful. My marriage is peaceful. My relationship is peaceful because that's the seed I planted years ago. Mm-hmm. That no matter what storm came along, we were always going to be at peace. And that does go back to what you said earlier, mm-hmm. having a mindset of peace, because you can't call on something or make a withdrawal on something you've never made a deposit towards. So how do we make a positive deposit? And we got about 5 minutes before we get off this air here. How do we make a positive deposit towards making sure that we are committed to the success of this holiday and forward?
And before you answer that question, I'm so sorry to cut in. We always talk about the little nuggets that we drop. Please, please write down, make a positive deposit, because I could just see somebody out there in the sea of listeners that we had didn't catch that. Mm. So I'm slowing it down real quick.
Can I get that t-shirt?
No.
Dang.
I'm slowing it down to let you know.
How do we make that positive deposit?
I think that sometimes that's a hard question. So maybe can I answer this a different way?
Any way you choose.
So when I think about like holidays and making them successful, and yes, it is about mindset and our expectations, but I also think it's about like understanding ourselves, which I've talked about. It's about understanding other people in our families and what they, reframing. Sometimes we say, oh, that person won't do such and such. But what if they can't? What if they really can't do something? Mental illness and emotional challenges that people have are less identifiable. If somebody's in a wheelchair, you're not going to tell them to get up. You can see it. Versus when someone has depression or a mental illness, sometimes people really aren't clear on what is happening. So being able to be empathetic. When you're going out with your family, maybe it's a multi-family situation and you know who's going to be drinking and you know what time they're going to be drinking, a short visit is better than a long visit.
Absolutely.
Have some success in having a short visit. You can kind of time when you're going to show up and when you're going to leave. And limit some of those interactions. You know, even in a family, sometimes
less is more.
You don't know. Like, sometimes you got to step away. You know what's going to be triggering. Those are situations where you might need to take a step.
Hey, Cousin Pearl.
Back.
And nice to see you.
I'm across the
sorry
room.
I have got to run, but my left my goldfish unattended.
Right. I got to go water the plants.
There you go. Super producer, you had.
Well, I wanted to answer your question, how do we make a positive deposit? Mm-hmm. And, you know, lo and behold, I'm only 17. I'm about to be 18 soon, whoop whoop. So I don't have that.
I'll whoop whoop when you're in college.
So granted, I don't have the experience that other people may have, but I think one of the things if I've learned nothing else from being on this show, it's setting your foundations correctly. And I can say to the point of your marriage with my mamas, mm-mm. I think you all have said over and over again that you all made sure that foundation was strong. And I think in terms of a relationship, I would say that comes from making sure you all understand each other, not just, you know, self-awareness, but understand the person standing next to you, standing across from you.
And understanding. But part of that is understanding that the person or persons you're connected to aren't perfect. Mm. We have to accept that, you know, our version of perfect isn't necessarily somebody else's reality. And I believe we have to.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
We don't have that. Sometimes we have to understand that everybody doesn't think the way that we think. And then we have people that think that maybe it's okay to say certain things and behave in certain ways. And with those people, we have to set boundaries.
Wow. And you know, I also wanted to speak on, you all were saying self-awareness helps with, you know, that individual that may be lost. And I think not only is it self-awareness, but it proves why you should have certain people in your life that can help you and lead you, or at least tell you, hey, you know, where you're at right now, the path you're going down, or the track you're setting yourself on isn't like you characteristically, or it just is not going to be good for you. And I think a prime example of the person who can help you with that is Coach Rick Terry. And yes, I'm doing a plug right now, y'all.
It ain't a shameless plug. I own the show.
I don't call shame on any plug. But the perfect person to help you with that is Coach Terry himself, because he's probably been there in one way or another, whatever situation you're dealing with. He's been there. He knows someone that's there. He can put you in contact with someone that can directly relate to what you're saying. But
and let me do this. Yep. I want to make sure. If you need help, I want you to reach out to my friend. I really do. I don't know how you're set up. I know you're set up in Columbia, Maryland. I know you take care of clients in D.C. I don't know how you're set up globally.
So we have a website, so you can go to Milestones.
Yes, let's give them all of your stuff.
CCS.com, and you can ask questions there. If you're looking for local resources to help you during the holiday season or during any time, there's the National Suicide Prevention Hotline. It's 1-800-273-8255. And for those who are not a fan of calling, there's a crisis text line. And you can text HELLO to 741-741, and that's in the United States or in the United Kingdom. Also, we have a blog right now about attitude of gratitude. So we talk about mindset and how we enter the holidays and coping. And so this is one of the ways that we kind of shift our thinking is by, instead of, we mentioned this in different ways today, was thinking about what you have instead of what you don't have, what's missing. What is it that you have that you can build on and focus on rather than talking about what's missing from the picture?
Well, guys, I wanna thank you guys for listening today. If they wanted to, I know you, like I said, we know we cover Maryland and we cover the district, what we call the DMV. I don't know if you're doing in Virginia, but if someone wanted to reach you and they're outside of this area, could they reach you and maybe you could refer them a whole conversation with them? Is that possible?
Absolutely. Send me questions. Maybe we could even answer your questions in a blog.
Let's give them that.
So, yes, again, you can go to our website and milestonesccs.com and leave a message there, and we can respond accordingly.
Well, again, I want to thank you. There, it seems like there wasn't enough time, and we could go on. So one of the things I
absolutely
do...
Absolutely. It's I have a long
segment,
season.
I have a segment called My Young and Out Front Leaders, where I often bring members who have come on to the show and just done such a phenomenal job. We need to get... another dish from you. You know, Thanksgiving ain't right till you go back for that second serving.
It's better the next day.
There you go. And so I'd like to invite you onto my Facebook Live and or one of the platforms we'll use, bring you back so we can really get into this conversation some more, because we need more than an hour to be able to do this. And I just want to tell you how grateful I am that you chose it not robbery. To give back, and that's one of the things that over the course of the last 72 hours I found out about you in doing my homework, is that you give back and you help people. So guys, if you need some help, you got a phone number you want to give
them
a call?
Sure. Our number is 443-574-4295.
Okay, slow down.
443.
Okay, because I write with a number 2 pencil.
5.
What's that number at?
443-574-4295.
All right, guys, if you want access, and that's one of the things we promised you, we were going to get you access to the right type of help. And again, you know, chew the meat, spit out the bone. But if you found something useful, we'd love to hear from you. You can catch us this week. We'll be putting this show on podcast. You can go over there. You can listen to it. You can like. You can subscribe. We do hope you share. But most importantly, you can leave a voice comment that we might play back over the air on the live show. Again, Gina, we want to thank you for coming into the show.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And I want to once again acknowledge your parents who came down with you. Love that cowboy hat, sir.
Ma'am. Go Cowboys!
Yes, and I want to say almost 20 years ago, I met your father at a men's retreat at Argonne Hills. It was just about 20 years ago. And I was called in to teach from a subject, The Point Man. And I'll never forget it because I was in that season of that. But guys, maybe I'll teach that on air one day. I want to close with this. I like boats. I really like boats. Now, I don't own a boat. I've never been on a lot of boats, but I like boats, and I don't like just any kind of boat. I like the really nice boats. And one of the things I learned about people with really nice boats, they make an investment in something. Not the aesthetics of the boat, yeah, that's nice. But when that boat has real value to them, they make a real investment in an anchor. That's right, an anchor. And the bigger the boat, the bigger the anchor. Guys, what are you anchored to? What have you attached your anchor to? Because if you got a big boat, if you got big dreams, if you got big desires, if you got a big thing in mind that you want to do, you got to attach it to something. And if you are not attached to the right type of anchor, if you're not attached to the thing that is going to help you when there is no other help, if you're not invested in you, if you have not decided to make what you want a priority, if you are not committed to it, then yeah, it's going to drive you crazy. If you want peace of mind, you've got to commit to having peace of mind. You've got to do those things that are going to give you peace of mind. And you know what I say. You can't give up, you can't give in, and you can't give out. You don't have that much farther to go. I know the holidays are coming, and I know you're going to have to fight like hell to get through. But fight. Fight with all your might. Fight with everything you have. And remember, you've been given the good seed. And even if all you have is a mustard seed of faith, that's all you need. You don't need what everybody else has to get to what it is you want. You just need the courage and the heart to. And you know what I say, I have a battle cry. I teach it at One Due North's leadership course. I spread it to everybody I know. And so I won't hesitate to do it now. My battle cry comes from Joshua 1:9, and it says, "Haven't I commanded thee to be strong and of good courage?" That's right, be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of great courage. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord thy God will be with you wherever you go. Wherever you go, no matter how high you go, how low you may fall, God is with you. All you need to do is raise your hand and say, "Help me. Help me." There's no shame in asking for help this holiday season or this moment. There's no shame.